Turn in your Bibles. There are Bibles in the racks under the chairs, or you can follow on the overhead. From the letter of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians was a bit of a church plant. It was a smaller city. It wasn't like Ephesus. It was not a large group, but it's a very powerful letter, and we can enjoy this morning Paul's what he prays for this church. So let's begin reading at verse 9, chapter 1. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption of our sins. May the Lord add to us today his blessing and a receptive heart as we hear his word. Paul prays for the Colossians that they might know the will of God. So how does God reveal his will? How does he guide us? How do we walk in the Spirit, as Paul tells the Galatians? How do we keep in step with the Spirit-given wisdom? I think this New Year's Sunday sort of invites us to meditate a little bit and reflect on the use and stewardship of our time, our treasure, our talent, even our bodily condition. And it is a time for reflection. And so I think it's appropriate that we talk about how to know the will of God using the model that Paul the Apostle gave to the church. So let's actually look a little bit more clearly at what the Holy Spirit teaches us through Paul about how to know the will of God. And I'd like to look at three parts of Paul's prayer, three phrases. The purpose of the prayer, which was to know the will of God, the means for the answer to that prayer, and finally, what outcomes Paul expected God to add to that prayer. But before we do that, notice that this is a prayer. Paul prays for them to know the will of God. That's where it has to start. There has to be a relationship with God, and it begins on our knees. It's not going to involve going to mediums to find, or sorcerers, or tarot cards, or Ouija boards. It's going to come by prayer. It's not just, well, God gave you a brain, use it, because it's a prayer. It's supplied by the Spirit. It'll engage your brain, your emotions, everything, but Paul prays to know the will of God. It's not trying some technique to hack into the secret counsel and plan of God, which he purposely keeps secret. You don't know the day of your death. You don't know who you're going to marry. You don't know all kinds of things about the future, and he's not about to show you. But we all have various temptations to try to figure that out so we can have sort of God's secret knowledge, and it's not good for us to know that. By reading signs and trying to read circumstances to figure out what the plan behind it is. But God really delights in our prayers to know His will. In fact, this morning, when we prayed the Lord's Prayer, we prayed, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this is Paul's prayer for that petition of the Lord's Prayer. So now let's look more closely at these three elements of the prayer. First of all, in verse 9, notice that he prays that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. So what more exactly does this mean? It means to know what God desires and commands for our lives. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." That means you're the process of becoming holy, the process of reflecting God's values and God's commandments. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth." And he's talking about God's preferences, his commands, his desires for us. It does not mean knowing God's future plan for our lives. As this phrase, "the will of God," is also used very clearly to reflect that use or that meaning, that God does have a secret counsel of his own plans. In Ephesians 1:11, Paul writes that we've been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And Deuteronomy 29:29, it's a fairly well-known verse. You might not all be aware of it, but it's a very important verse because there Moses says that the secret things belong to the Lord, his secret counsel, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. Okay, so Paul is opening the door for us to pray to God for the things that are revealed, for the Lord to help connect these values, these commands, these preferences that reflect the character of God to all the decisions that we make. He will reveal how to connect his character to your decisions. And you will have to grow into that. It's not an automatic thing, but you will. Paul promises us, the scriptures promise us, that this is one of the things that God does when he saves us. This changes from fools to wise men and women. His plan for you is for you to learn to love him and others well, to keep the great commandment and the great commission on the job, in the home, on vacation, in your circumstances. So now let's look a little bit at the second part of this prayer. We see what he's praying for and what he's not praying for. Now let's look at the means for knowing the will of God. How do we know? And this is really the heart of what struck me as I have studied this passage. Paul tells us that we know the will of God in or through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The Holy Spirit evidently works in us this, it is spiritual wisdom. It's from the Spirit. So the Spirit works in us wisdom and discernment into our situation that we might know the will of God for us. Now, we would really prefer some other way of knowing the will of God. We would, if you're faced with a decision about how to manage a rebellious child, or a boss that doesn't behave, or a big mistake that you make. You know, we would love for us to get a note from God telling us what to do. I admit God bails us out a lot on that, okay? And I'm not saying he won't bail you out when you're really confused. But that's not the model. That's not what Paul tells us to pursue and to pray for. You don't jump off a building and hope that God is going to catch you. He may catch you. You may hit a haystack because he's not done with you. But that's not what you plan on. That's not what you pursue. Now, just because this is perhaps a little controversial, I want to make sure that we all know this is the pervasive teaching that Paul gave to all his churches. Let me read and we'll project some of these verses. Let's look at Ephesians 5, verse 15. Whoops, I've got three passages here. Let me get over to Ephesians. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but what? As wise, making the best use of the time, for the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what? The will of God. And then he goes on and he lays out the key values in all our relationships within the church, within the home, within the job. How do we love one another in all of these different spheres of life? And that's the wisdom that the Lord is promising us. And that's the wisdom that Paul is commanding us to seek. Let's also look at Philippians, okay? Philippians 1, 9 and 10. And it is my prayer for you. Notice there's another prayer here. It's my prayer for you that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. And then the final passage, when Paul writes to the Roman Christians and outlining the whole plan of salvation. The first 11 chapters is this is what God's done for us. And then chapter 12 on, this is how you ought to live. And how does he begin this new section? Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the, what? The renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. In all four of these passages, then, we are told that it is wisdom given by the Spirit, it is insight, it is discernment and understanding that opens up to us the will of God for our lives in our situations where we are. And we've already mentioned this knowledge is not sought in reading clues or reading into circumstances. She's so beautiful. It must be God's will for me to marry her, you know. Or, this is the first college that wrote me back. This must be God's will. Or, I got this job offer. It must be God's will for me to take it. No, we're not situationally based. We're values based. And the ability to connect those values to those situations is what wisdom is. Wisdom is applied love. You know, you've all heard the story of the poor fellow who got a job offer. He really didn't know what to do, and he was pretty miserable in his present job, and he got this new offer, and it just wasn't all he wanted. Lord, should I take the offer? Okay, so it was a good thing to pray, but then he decided, well, I'm supposed to seek wisdom in Scripture, so I'll just open the Bible and put my finger down on a verse. So he opens the Bible, he puts it down on the verse, and it says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. And so, well, maybe I should give God another chance. So he flips the Bible open again, puts his finger down, and says, go and do thou likewise. He says, that didn't help much. Okay, one more chance. Flips the Bible, puts his finger down, and whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. So, I'm not saying that God doesn't use all kinds of strange ways to save us from ourselves, but that's not the model of what he's encouraging us to pursue. And I'm not going to be able to go in too deeply this morning to how we actively cultivate wisdom. We're going to be dealing with guidance in the February Wednesday, first Wednesday night. And so I'll be able to flesh out some of the practicalities of this at that point. It's also interesting that in the New Testament church, when this was written, they had prophets. They had tongues and people that could interpret tongues. I mean, that's a lot easier, isn't it? Just go ask your local prophet whether you should take the job or not. But even in that situation, Paul commends them to get on their knees and pray for the discernment so that they would understand how to apply the will of God. Okay, I'm going to give two illustrations, and you'll have to pardon me. They both come from the world of fishing, because that's what I enjoy. I hear there are some fishermen in the church. So what is the difference between wisdom guidance, which is what I'm proposing as Paul's model and the model given to the church, and waiting for a voice or some of these circumstantial guidances? Well, if you've ever been with a fishing guide, you know there are two types of fishing guides. There's the one guide, like we hired in Morehead City to go to the Gulf Stream, my brothers and I, and we decided that we would go for the first time way out to the Gulf Stream and catch some big fish. I've always wondered how they did it. Well, this particular captain wouldn't say anything about where he went, how to rig the tackle. You know, they put the lines out, and they said, okay, Jim, we got a fish on that rod. You reel it in. So I went over there, and I did like this, and boom, I had a nice fish. Then another one off my brother, and he reeled that in. He had a nice fish. What did we learn about fishing? Zero. Did we come back with hundreds of pounds of fish? Yes. But I was no smarter. Now, then at Emerald Isle, there's a retired chemistry professor. He goes by the marketing name of Dr. Bogus, and he fishes Bogue Sound. And Dr. Bogus loves to teach. And so when you hire him, you have to go to his house. And he sits around his kitchen table, and for 2 hours, he explains why you're going where you're going, what tackle you'll be using, how to tie it, you know, how to read the water, how to fight the fish, and then he marches you out, and you get to practice what he just taught you. Now, those are the two models. Which one does the Lord give us? He gives us the insight and understanding model. Now, you make some mistakes. You may get a hook caught in your hand sometimes, and sometimes we don't listen, and sometimes we don't know how to apply it, but that is the model that God uses for us. Another way of looking at it is the development of insight. I was once fishing on the Emerald Isle Pier. And I was sort of walking up and down the pier with my rod looking for where to fish. And there were two or three people all gathered around some of the pilings. And right at the bottom of the pilings, do you know what kind of fish lives there? It's sheep's head. And they swim in circles around the piling. And so they were putting little crabs and stuff and letting them down. Nobody was catching anything. So I sort of looked down and see what they were doing. And it's one of these amazing times when the water was so clear, I had my Polaroid sunglasses on. Now, none of the people fishing for the sheep's head had polarized sunglasses. I looked down, and guess what I saw? I could see to the bottom. I could see the fish. But there was so much sun, they couldn't see the fish. So my baser drives got the best of me, and I let my line down, and I waited until a fish swam right over my hook, and I yanked it up. And all of a sudden, it had this big sheep head. And then I did it again, and I waited. There was another one down there, and I waited, and I yanked it when it swam over my rod, and I got another one. After the third one, everybody was sitting like, what are you doing? But they couldn't catch him because they didn't have the insight below all the brightness of the water. And a lot of us are just so distracted by the sunlight glaring off the water, we can't see deeply into the situation. And what God wants to do is to give us glasses to see into life and to see into the situations so you can yank the hook at the right time. You know, this is not the first time God's offered wisdom. Remember Solomon. God said to Solomon, you can have anything that you want. And Solomon said, Lord, I want wisdom for the ability to bring the commandments of God to bear on the lives of our people in Israel. So you've got to choose wisdom. You've got to seek it, as we read from Proverbs, more than treasure. You know, very often, if you are wise spiritually, other blessings can be added without destroying your life. In Solomon's case, he was so wise and he was so blessed that the blessings got the best of him. And it's a warning for us, all of us, to stay on our knees and to fear the Lord and not to then get distracted with how God even blesses the wisdom that he gives us. So God will progressively answer that prayer as you walk with him, and there may be great reward. It may not be in riches, wealth, and power, but let's now look at the third phrase that Paul uses to describe his prayer. So let's turn back to Colossians. Paul says that he prays that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, what's the outcome that Paul expects from the answer to this prayer? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's number one. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, walking worthily, as Rob has been explaining to us in Ephesians, is you're walking worthy of the grace you've already received. It's not trying to earn it, but reflecting in your life your gratefulness and the character of the God who has loved you and saved you by grace alone. And then he's saying that actually this wisdom will equip you for every good work. Paul even says that slaves who work from the heart will not miss their reward from God on the day of judgment, as he rewards every good work. How do you work for a difficult master? It takes wisdom. It takes love. And it takes discernment. So Paul says it will be bear fruit in every good work. And then it says, increasing in the knowledge of God. Guess what? Wisdom is self-reinforcing. The more wisdom you have, the more you can get. It multiplies in your life. It's a process of growth. So it's not that, okay, you pray once for the first time to receive Jesus and say, Lord, make me wise, and then you don't get it all at once. It grows, and it expands, and it enters new areas. I'm retired, recently retired. I cannot believe how many closets God is still opening in my life. And I thought I was done. I'm supposed to be going down the other side. Well, if you sign up for discipleship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you, it's going to be an interesting ride all the way to the end. You're going to be increasing in the knowledge of God as you seek it. So if this is what you want, if you want to know God's will for your life, come to Jesus Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you that wisdom. Seek it with all your heart. And I pray for the day when the Church of Jesus Christ will be known not as the crazies, the people who are so easily seduced, but rather those who have such sober mind and insight that they don't buy all the glitter and the glare off the surface of the water. That they're able to be a people who see more deeply into the issues of life and are able to even then explain it to others. So if this is your goal, you've come to the right place and to the right person and to the right spirit. This is a prayer that God guarantees He will answer. So let's pray. Father, we thank You that when Your Son died for us, He died to transform us, not just in a mechanical process, but in a process of growing in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And Father, we think of Joseph and serving in Pharaoh's administration. We think of Daniel. Father, we think of the prayer of Solomon. Lord, we think of Your own Son who had the insight and wisdom of God as He interacted with others around Him, where His teaching had such authority. Lord, we think of how the Roman world was just so lost in its paganism, and how the light of Christ shone into that world, and it just collapsed in front of the glory. Father, we need Your wisdom. We need to know how to connect Your great commandments and this wonderful commission You've given us to share the good news with our neighbors, with our family, with those overseas, those, and even our enemies. Oh, Father, we pray that You might answer this prayer for us and make us those who seek and find Your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.